If you have your Bibles tonight, please turn with me to the book of James, chapter 2. James, chapter 2. I'm getting started a little early, and God being my helper, I'll get done a little early. And that way we can get some of the things done, maybe still get out at a decent hour, okay? I've read this text many times, but as far as the actually preaching from this text, I've mentioned different things, especially the latter part of the chapter. But the first part of the chapter, as far as I know, I've never really preached out of it or taught out of it. And I believe God has a thought in it for us tonight. James chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "My brethren," that's us, isn't it? Amen. It's written to James's brethren. James, you know, for a while he had a hard time believing, but he finally come on board. He said, "My brethren," he said, "have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he kind of in parentheses here, it says, "the Lord of glory." And that's where I'm going to go tonight. I'm going to talk about pleasing the Lord of glory. He is the Lord of glory. Amen. Who is the King of glory? The Lord God Almighty. Amen. He is the King of glory. "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." Now, we're going to be reading in the chapter anyway, so I'll just stop right there. Have a word of prayer. I'll ask you to pray for me tonight. We'll talk about pleasing the Lord of glory. Just three things on my heart tonight. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege to come in your presence. We thank you, God, that you know what we have need of tonight. And yet, Lord, you said to come and ask. Lord, it reminds me of my children, my grandchildren. What a blessing it was, Lord, for them to ask. And Lord, to be able to know, God, that you had helped us to meet the need. And Lord, we know tonight that there's not a need that you cannot meet. And God, we pray tonight, Lord, for these that are here. God, that you'll encourage our hearts together. And Lord, I believe there are people here tonight that want with all of their heart to please you. And I pray, God, tonight that you'd help us to do just exactly that. Lord, our people that can't be here tonight, God, would you help them, strengthen them, bless them. Lord, many of them are fighting some real battles tonight, some physically, some emotionally, some spiritually. And God, I pray you'd encourage them, Lord, wherever they are tonight. Help us, our Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. There's three things tonight, three areas tonight I want to look at in the chapter as pleasing the Lord of glory. The first one is as it pertains to the faith. As it pertains to the faith. The Bible said, "My brethren," and you don't get very far into the verse, "have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of person." I think about the text over in the book of Hebrews where it said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'll say something tonight. I don't say it in a derogatory manner, but I doubt there's many people in the world today diligently seeking the Lord of glory, wanting to know his will. I was wasn't going to mention this tonight, but here it comes. I was doing a devotion with the kids yesterday, and you get as old as I am, you can call them kids. I don't care if they're in their 20s. Amen? But I was doing a devotion with them yesterday, and in the devotion, it was talking about keeping pace with God. Then when you come to a fork in the road, it talked about, you know, if you're walking with God, that you'll go the right way at that fork, because you're walking with God. And I told them in the text yesterday as I was trying to share with them each day a little bit, I told them that in the last 25 years, I've given many people directions how to come to my house. I said, you turn right on Amos Chapel Road and you come up to the fork of the road and you take the left-hand fork where the first road, the first house on the right after you take the left-hand fork. And I said this in the devotion. I said, now, if people disregard those instructions, and they take the right-hand fork, they end up at the dump. You know where a lot of young people are? They're at the dump. You want to know why? Because they're smarter than mommy and daddy. They're even smarter than Jesus. Amen. And Jesus is trying to lead them. Amen. I told them about the verse that there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make you a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. Those are people that are diligently seeking the Lord. Amen. When they come to the fork in the road and want to go the way God wants them to go. Amen. When it comes to changing jobs, they actually pray about it and want to go the way God wants them to go. When it comes to moving, amen, and want to go the way God wants them to go. As it pertains to the faith, I'll give you some things tonight here that I believe will be a blessing to you. Faith, it's a faith that worships, number one. The Bible said the Lord of glory. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And then in another text in Galatians 2:20, I believe it was, he said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live in the faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. So I believe tonight it's a faith that pleases God, and it's a faith that worships. Turn over to Psalms just a moment with me. Psalms chapter 24. Let me give you a couple of verses of scripture right here and we'll move right on. In Psalms chapter number 24, these came back to my mind today and I had to look them up. Psalm chapter 24, I want to read verse 8 and verse number 10, I believe it is, in Psalm chapter 24. I'll get there in a minute. I should have put a marker in my Bible. Psalm chapter 24, verse 8, the Word of God said, that's not right. That's not the right verse. I know that's not the right verse. So I've written something down wrong here. Sorry about that. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's not right. I know that's not the verse I was looking for. But it talks about the beauty of the Lord. And give unto the Lord, here's what it says, the glory due His name. Amen. And I believe that we need to worship, and I believe that we have to worship by faith, because the Bible said they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In other words, we can't see Him, but the Word of God makes Him real to us. Amen. And must worship Him by faith. Now the second thing, I just got all of that from the Lord of glory, where it said there, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. But then there's a faith that works. Look at verse 14, and we'll read down through verse number 26. The Bible said here, I said something years ago, and I don't want to make anybody mad, but beloved, if a person's able to go to church, listen to me, I wouldn't trust a faith that wouldn't take me to church to take me to heaven. If my faith wouldn't take me to church, amen, why would I trust it to take me to heaven? I mean, I believe the Bible doesn't teach that we're saved by works. It teaches we're saved by faith. But the faith that saves works. Amen. I believe that. Notice what the Bible said. What does the prophet, my brethren, there is that brethren again. Though a man say he hath faith, there's a lot of them in the world, ain't they? And have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. I believe God's got it right here, don't you? That's what the Bible's talking about. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all of a sudden a man finds himself wanting to do things he didn't have any interest in before and won't stop doing things that was all of his interest was tied up in before. Amen. And the Bible said here, if it hath not works, it's dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show thee my faith by my works. There's no need to be confused about these verses. The salvation, beloved, that God gives to a man or a woman or a boy or a girl changes his life. And it causes him to want to do something to honor the Lord of glory. It causes him to want to have works. And beloved, by the way,
The Bible said, listen to this verse. Let your light so shine before men. You say, Pastor, God can see my faith. That's exactly right, but men can't. They can't see your heart. They can't see your faith. But the Bible said, let your light so shine before men that men may see your good what? Your good what? Works. And glorify you. No. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen. That's what it's all about. Letting her light shine. He said, thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. In other words, beloved, the devils have a belief that doesn't change them. And there's a lot of people in this world that's got a head knowledge of the things of God that's never changed their life. Amen. And beloved, that's what the Bible's telling us about here. There's a faith that worships, but there's a faith that works. But thou, wilt thou, O vain man, know that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest then how faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You want to know why? Listen, that Rahab hid the messengers? It's because she heard. She heard before she hid. She heard about their God. And she knew, beloved, that they was in trouble when they come down there to Jericho. Amen. And she believed, amen, on their God. And she hid the messengers. And I believe with all my heart, there's no need to be confused about these things. If we're going to please the Lord of glory, it's going to take faith. A faith to worship. A faith that works. But then let me give you this. There's a faith that waits. You say, where did you get that in the chapter? Well, just one man's name. And that's Abraham. Go back to Hebrews chapter number 11 with me for just a moment. Faith, beloved, will worship. Faith will work. And faith will wait on God. Amen. Watch what the Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 11. The Bible said here, I'm looking at verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Honey, they're not that far off for us. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, we're living on the threshold of seeing this all come to pass. Abraham said it was far off, but watch what he said. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. You say, Pastor, how do you get waiting on that? Well, they died in faith. They hadn't received the promises, but they were waiting on those promises to be fulfilled. Go with me to Romans just a minute. Let me share a text with you from Romans chapter number 8. I believe it'll make it a little bit more clear for us tonight. Romans chapter number 8, we're going to begin reading in verse 22. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Is that any of us tonight? Amen. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting. There's the word. You ought to underline that word. We're waiting for something. The adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I don't know about you tonight. I don't need no theologian to tell me that my body's not been redeemed yet. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, we're waiting for the redemption. My soul and my spirit has been redeemed. But I'm waiting by faith on the redemption of the body. The Bible said, for we're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man doth seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience, there's the word again, wait for it. Beloved, faith will worship. Faith will work. And faith will wait on God. Amen. And that pleases the Lord. I like what Job said. He said, if a man die, shall he live again? He said this, all the days of my appointed time will I, what's the word? Wait till my change come. Amen, Brother Junior, there's a change coming for the children of God. Amen. I'm not carrying this old house of clay over yonder. Amen. I've got a new house. Amen. Likened to the Son of God. Praise the Lord tonight. Pleasing the Lord of glory. Well, it has to do with faith. It pertains to the faith. But now, secondly tonight, it pertains to our fellow man. Look at James chapter 2, please. Let's go back to verse number 1. The Bible said, have not the faith, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. You ought to underline this with respect of persons. You see, beloved, our relationship to God will change our relationship with men. Did you hear what I just said? Our fellowship with God will change our fellowship with men. Watch what the Bible said here. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him. Let me just stop just a minute and tell you a story. I heard about a man that come in the church. He come in, he kind of dressed ragged. He was stinking. Amen. And he just walked right down the aisle, church had already said. And he crossed his legs, Indian style, sat right down in front of the communion table while the preacher was preaching. Oh, Sister So-and-so had her nose about 18 feet in the air. One of the deacons stood up, started down the aisle. She said, oh, he gonna fix this. He just sat down beside of him, Indian style. Amen. I like that, don't you? You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, there was a lot of them would like to have him escorted out. If he wasn't bothering anything, you let him sit there and hear the gospel. Amen. You say, Pastor, I don't believe that. Let me finish reading. If you don't believe it by then you got a problem. Amen. Watch what the Bible said. The Bible said, in goodly apparel, there come also a poor man in vile raiment. And you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. Boy, don't you like it when gay used to mean gay? Used to mean happy. Amen. Used to mean, it was nice gay clothing, nice clothing. Boy, I don't want to wear nothing gay anymore, do you? Amen. And say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God, I love this, chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that loved him? You know, the Bible said here, but ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you're called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. It was only this week when I was reading this text that I saw verse 10 in the context that it's written in. I mean, you can take verse 10 and read it and preach it any time. Amen. It's true. If a man offends in one point of the law, he's guilty of the whole law. But right here he's talking about being a respect of persons. And I'm telling you, there's people that would not dare commit adultery. They would not dare steal. They would not dare tell a lie. But they get their nose out of joint because somebody don't smell good or wear the clothes they think they ought to wear. And God said it's sin. You might be entertaining angels unaware. Amen. I tell you, we had an old fella. I'm not going to say his name because you never know where Brother Richard's broadcast might go. But we had an old fella. Daddy used to drive a school bus for the church we went to. Now, it was a church bus, but it was an old school bus. And we didn't know what we was going to do. I mean, my goodness. This man, I think maybe it might have been a little bit more pleasant to sit beside of a skunk. Amen. Man, he stunk. And so one day, Daddy, we prayed about him. We loved this old fella. He rode a motorcycle, a little old, like an 80 or Honda, something like that. He rode a little old motorcycle downtown where we live, and he was faithful to come to church. He rode the church bus every Sunday. So one day, Daddy talked to him, and he called his name. He said, "Now listen to me." He said, "I want to help you." He said, "What you need to do is," he said, "you need to turn the water on." And he said, "You need to get you a washcloth." And he said, "You need to rub you a little soap on that, like right there." And he said, "And just take that washcloth," and he said, "just wash up real good." He stopped Daddy right in the middle of everything. He said, "John," he said, "I can't stand that old water in my face." Let me say this, or anywhere else. Amen. You say, "Brother, what are you trying to say tonight?" He kept coming to church, and we kept hollering him. Amen. I'm telling you what's the truth tonight. It wasn't pleasant. And there was another family, poor. You ever heard the saying, poor is Job's turkey? Amen. But they kept coming, and we kept hollering them, amen, and kept loving them. And I'll tell you, there'll be a day at the judgment seat of Christ where we'll be glad we did. Watch this now. I'm talking about as it pertains to our fellow man. The Bible said here, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, he also said, do not kill. Now if thou committest no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law." The fellow man, let me give you three things right quick. He's talking about our neighbor. In verse number one, he said respect to persons. In verse number two, he said respect to him. In verse number nine, he said respect to persons. I believe that James is talking about our neighbor. Secondly, he's talking about a name. Look at verse number 7. "Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you're called." Honey, it ain't your name. It ain't Bible Way's name. It ain't pastor's name. It's being blasphemed, something like that goes on. It's Jesus' name. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, God said, don't blaspheme that worthy name. Listen to me. Every one of us ought to remember, beloved, if we've got something nice to wear, ever good, ever perfect gift coming down from above. If we've got something good to eat, we need to remember where it come from. If we've got some good transportation, we need to thank God for our transportation. But we don't need to look down on somebody that don't have good clothes or don't have a place to take a bath or don't have good transportation. Amen. We need to pray for them and be a blessing to them. I'll say this tonight. Now listen to me. I'm just confessing, okay? But I'd rather visit with poor people than anywhere people in the world. Now, I'll visit with other people too. But I'm just telling you, that poor man will sit on the porch and talk to you. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of people, they're too uppity. And they got too much. They ain't got time to talk to you. And I'm telling you, God said right here, He's chosen the poor of this world and the rich in faith. So it's about our neighbor. It's about a name. "By this shall all men know you're my disciples." What Jesus said, if you have love one toward another. And beloved, we know this. He's not just talking about loving the saints. Amen. He said, if you love them that love you, what thank have you? Amen. But he's talking about being able to love even our enemies. Our neighbor, it's about a name. And then it's about the needs. You know, a lady called today, and it could be that in the near future, she may have a need. And she didn't say it today that it was a need. But I just thank God I go to church with a bunch of people where there's money set aside in the budget to help people. Amen. And I think it was the first year or two I was here, Brother Ralph, we run out of money. And we just put some more in there. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. You can't outgive God. I know there'll be times, listen to me, I'm not stupid. There'll be times when you'll get burnt. Somebody say amen. You try to help somebody and you'll get burnt. Amen. But I tell you what, it's going to be on them if we did it with the right heart. Say amen. We need to try to be careful, and we do. Try to screen through things. But when it's our brother, our sister, look what he said. He said, "And one of you, if a brother, verse 15, or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled." Well, that didn't do nothing for their belly, did it? "Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" I tell you tonight, God's blessed every one of us. Amen. Every one of us here tonight's got more than we need. Amen. And I thank God that He's put it in our heart, not only, beloved, to please the Lord in our faith, but to please the Lord in our relationship to our fellow man. Now let me give you this and I'm done tonight. The last thing that I want you to see as it pertains to faith, as it pertains to our fellow man, but as it pertains to being a friend of God. Oh, I love this. Let me get you a definition pulled up here. A friend. Webster's, 1828. See, the Bible said down here, "And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see that? Listen to Webster's definition of a friend. This blessed me. I hope it'll bless you. "One who is attached to another by affection." Glory to God. He loves me tonight. And the only reason I love him is because he first loved me. We're kind of attached by affection. Watch this. "Who entertains for another sentiments of esteem, respect, and affection, which lead him to desire his company." He was talking a while ago, Brother Jason, about just getting with the Lord. Hey, let me tell you something. I desire his company. But let me give you something better than that. He desires mine. I said hallelujah. Our Lord desires our company. Abraham was called friend of God. And then he said to seek to promote his happiness and prosperity opposed to foe or enemy. A friend loveth. I love the way old Webster does it. Proverbs 17:17, he says, let me give you an example. A friend loveth at all times. Glory to God. Amen. One not hostile, opposed to an enemy in war. Watch this. Oh, glory. One reconciled after enmity. Glory. Oh, you say, Pastor, what's the matter with you? I'm telling you, there was a time in my life when I was at enmity with God. But here he came to Calvary and reconciled me with the Father. Amen. That's what a friend is. Amen. I don't know about you. Let me give you a couple of things real quick. I looked at that definition and I about shouted in the shop today. There was a willingness to leave. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees. I remember when I was pastor of my first church and God put it in my heart. He said, son, your work here is done. I mean, the handwriting was on the wall and they were big capital letters. You're done. Your work here is done. And I didn't know what to do. I was young. And I called different preachers. And they all said the same thing. You've got a family, Brother Vinoy. And you've got a responsibility to your family. And they said, wouldn't leave without a place to go. Well, I took everything to heart. The Bible said there's safety in a multitude of counselors. That's what the Word of God said. One day I was reading my Bible, and God said something different than what they was telling me. God said Abraham obeyed God, not knowing whither he went. Abraham didn't know where he's going. You say, did Abraham have security? Yeah, in the Savior. That's where our security is tonight. Amen. If you think your security is in the stock market, you're badly mistaken. If you think it's in a bank account, you're badly mistaken. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, our security is in the Lord of glory. And I believe tonight that Abraham was a friend of God because there was a willingness to leave. I'm telling you, my wife will tell you, God has blessed us. He has blessed us and blessed us. I told her coming to church tonight, I said, honey, if God didn't do one more thing for us, we'd have to say God's been good. He has blessed us. And I believe a lot of that, Brother Jason, because there was a time when against everything, humanly speaking, I was willing to go with God and trust Him. Amen. I tell you, one old preacher said this, and I never forgot it. He said, when you can't track Him, you can still trust Him. You might not know what He's doing, but thank God Almighty, you can trust Him always. Amen. Abraham was a friend of God. There was a willingness to leave, but then there was a willingness to cleave. You know what? Everywhere Abraham went, you know what he did? He built an altar. He wasn't just going to leave Ur of the Chaldees, but he was going to cleave to the God of heaven. Amen. Now, Abraham wasn't perfect. You and I both know that. We ought to know that before you even studied him. Amen. Because there wasn't but one perfect, and they crucified him, the Lord of glory. And so Abraham was a friend of God because he was willing to leave, because he was willing to cleave. But then Abraham was called the friend of God. If you look at the Old Testament and you look at the context, because he was willing to believe, that's why Abraham said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Isaac said, behold the wood, behold the fire. I'm paraphrasing now, but Daddy, where's the lamb? Abraham said, God will provide Himself a lamb. And you know what the Word of God said in the book of Hebrews? That Abraham judged him, God, faithful. And that he was, listen, able to raise him from the dead. A friend. I don't know about you tonight, but pleasing the Lord of glory, it pertains to our faith. It pertains to our fellow man. But it pertains to being a friend of God. You know, according to the Bible, you can't be a friend of God and a friend of the world at the same time. You've got to choose. Amen. Ain't God good tonight? He's so good to us tonight. I'm telling you tonight, I want to please Him. Don't you? It pleased the Lord to bruise him. And yet it pleases the Lord, Justin, to bless us. He's blessed us. He's blessed us. I sent Brother Keith a picture today. I'm talking to him about some things, and I love that dear man, don't you? I sent him a picture. He said, well, when he texted me, he said, you might be in a deer stand. I said, no, not done much of that this year. But I said, I did take my grandson Monday a week ago. 7 years old. And he drilled a deer with a crossbow. And I sent Brother Keith a picture of that. He said, that young man's done something I ain't never done. And then he sent me a text back. He said, some of the best times I've had with my children have been in the woods. And I told him, I said, same with me and my children and my grandchildren. I mean, I was with Aubrey when she killed her first deer. Amen. Oh, let me get politically correct. When she harvested her first deer. Amen. I don't care whether you kill them or harvest them. We're going to eat them when you get done doing it. Amen. We love them. Amen. I'm going to tell you tonight, Abraham was a friend of God. We're to want to please him tonight. Amen. Go where he says to go. Go when he says to go. Amen. Go with God.
The trio from Oak Glen sings a song, "I think I'll just go with God." Amen. Looking back my way. My way ain't got no future in it. But His way's wonderful. How many's glad you come tonight? Amen.